Good morning, Village.
Good morning.
This is a simple song, but a powerful song. It is a song that reminds us why we are here. And so this morning as I sing through three simple verses, and you, if you know the words, you're welcome to join in, that you would just allow the Holy Spirit to work with you as you prepare to hear the message from Pastor Bruce a little bit later. We have come into this house and gathered in His word to worship Him. We have come into this His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Oh Lord, worship Him, Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Oh Lord, worship Him, Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Him, Christ the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jimmy. Good morning, church. My name is Kathleen Rowe, and I'm a deacon here at Village, and it's my privilege to read the scripture this morning. The scripture this morning comes from Isaiah 56, 1, 57, 1 and 2, and 18 through 21, and can be found on page 672 to 674 of your pew Bible. Isaiah 56, 1. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away, while no one understands. For the righteous are taken away from calamity, and they enter into peace. Those who walk uprightly will rest on their couches. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will lead them and repay them with comfort, creating for their mourners the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to the far and the near, says the Lord. I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea that cannot keep still. Its waters toss up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. May God give us understanding of this, his holy word.
I realize this morning that I am preaching to the choir. Now, there's no choir there, but you're the choir this morning, and I'm preaching to you. And when I say I'm preaching to the choir, I mean you already know much of what I'm going to say, and you already agree with much of what I'm going to say. You know and you agree because you are not the problem. But there is a problem. The problem is racism in America. And it's based on centuries of racism in America. And it affects all of us. And while we did not create the problem, we are called to be part of the solution to the problem. And that's why I'm preaching to you this morning. Frankly, I have grown weary preaching sermons about racial injustice. Over the past several years, I preached many sermons about it. After the killing of Trayvon Martin in Florida in 2012, I preached a sermon. And after the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014, I preached a sermon. And after the death of Freddie Gray in Baltimore last year, I preached a sermon. And after the massacre at Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina last summer, I preached a sermon. Now, after the killings of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Philando Castile outside St. Paul, Minnesota, and after the killing of five police officers in Dallas, Texas, here's another sermon. The sermons are necessary because racial violence and racial injustice continue. And as long as there's violence and injustice, then the word of God must be brought to bear. We cannot keep silent when any persons are killed without justification. We did not create the problem, but we are called to be part of the solution to the problem. Now, we still don't know exactly what happened a week ago last Tuesday in Baton Rouge. This we do know. Alton Sterling was selling CDs outside a convenience store. Someone called 911 and reported a man with a gun. According to CNN, the caller was a homeless person. According to witnesses, he was begging Sterling for money, and Sterling told him to get lost. When he would not stop begging and leave him alone, Sterling showed him his handgun, presumably to scare him off. The homeless man called the police on his cell phone. One bystander video shows two police officers holding Sterling on the ground, and then one of them shoots him. Another bystander video shows a police officer retrieving a handgun from Sterling's pocket as he lies on the ground after the shooting. The sequence is important. Sterling's handgun does not appear until after he has been shot. Alton Sterling was black. The police officer who shot him was white. We still don't know exactly what happened a week ago last Wednesday outside St. Paul, Minnesota. This we do know. Philando Castile was driving in his car with his girlfriend and her daughter. Castile was stopped by the police for a broken taillight. One of the officers told the dispatcher that the driver seemed to be resembling a suspect in a robbery. According to his girlfriend, Castile began to reach for his driver's license and registration to comply with the request from the officer when he said that he had a weapon in the car and a concealed carry permit. According to the girlfriend, as Castile was reaching for his driver's license, one of the officers opened fire and shot him multiple times. The girlfriend began a live video stream of the encounter using her cell phone. Castile was black. The officer who shot him was Latino. In both cases, black men died at the hands of police officers with the encounters caught on bystander video. Were it not for the videos, the deadly encounters likely would not have received widespread attention. Were it not for the videos, the deadly encounters likely would have been explained by the police as justified. But the encounters were caught on video, and the circumstances of the deadly encounters were very much called into question. Why were Alton Sterling and Philando Castile killed by police officers? Because they were black? Because they had guns? Because they posed a threat to the police? There might be some logical reason if these were isolated incidents, but these were not isolated incidents. Sadly, deadly incidents happen all too often. A week ago, last Thursday, there was a demonstration in Dallas, Texas. The march was to protest the killings of black men by police officers in Louisiana and Minnesota and elsewhere. The protest was peaceful. The demonstrators and the police got along. They interacted in a cordial way. Some demonstrators even took selfies with police officers. Then chaos. A sniper began shooting police officers, killing 5 and wounding 9. Many officers acted heroically to try to protect the demonstrators. Eventually, the sniper was cornered. Negotiators tried to convince him to give up. During the negotiations, the sniper avowed his hatred for white people and especially hatred for white police officers. He claimed the killings of the white police officers in Dallas were in retaliation for the black men that had been killed elsewhere by white police. Hours into the standoff, the sniper was killed by a bomb delivered by a police robot. Now, we were not directly involved in any of that. We did not create the problem of racism in America. I dare say not a single person in this room is filled with racial hatred. But there are people who are filled with racial hatred, and there's violent results. As Jim Wallace, the editor of Sojourner magazine, said, "Racism is America's original sin. The myth of racial superiority and inferiority was concocted centuries ago to try to justify slavery. It was a lie that has infiltrated American culture. It was a lie that laid the foundation for segregation and discrimination and prejudice and profiling and redlining and other forms of racial injustice. We did not create the problem of racism in America, but we must be part of the solution to the problem of racism in America. If we do nothing, then racism will continue, and racial violence will continue, and racial injustice will continue." William Willimon is a retired bishop in the United Methodist Church. He's a professor of the Divinity School at Duke University. And he wrote, "The challenge for us is to move beyond being non-racist to being actively anti-racist. The challenge for us is to move beyond being non-racist to being actively anti-racist." Well, our scripture for this morning from Isaiah is about injustice. Isaiah 56 begins Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. That is the biblical ideal, that we maintain justice and do what is right and wait for God's salvation. But the reality of our world is far different. The reality of injustice in our world is expressed in Isaiah 57. The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away, but no one understands. The biblical ideal is justice. The reality is injustice. Now, it is simply too simple to place the blame on police officers. Most police officers are dedicated public servants who put their lives on the line on a daily basis to protect us and keep us safe. So far this year, 27 police officers have been shot and killed in the line of duty. That's so far this year. Just last Tuesday, police officers in the district were shot at twice in two separate incidents. Thankfully, no one was killed. Of course, police officers are not perfect. None of us are. Some police departments are not trusted by the communities. Some officers engage in racial profiling and in excessive force. That is wrong. But the larger problem is not the police. The larger problem is a violent culture that has taught us to see others differently, taught us to view each other through a lens distorted by racism. Too often we make judgments, often unconscious judgments, based on appearances and racial stereotypes. This culture was centuries in the making, and it will not be changed in a moment. But change is possible when people work together to make change happen. Philip Kennicott is the Pulitzer Prize-winning art and architecture critic for the Washington Post. In an essay that he wrote last Monday in the paper, he said, "It is difficult to persuade anyone to change his or her mind about political, ethical, or religious matters. It is virtually impossible to persuade a stranger to change his or her mind about anything. You may shame someone into silence for a while, but you will not change their heart. It is possible to transform the way people think, but this takes years or decades, and it requires love." Let me repeat that. It is possible to transform the way people think, but this takes years or decades, and it requires love. Well, as Christians, we know that change is possible. And we know that what can change hearts and minds is the love of God in Jesus Christ. As William Willimon says, grace is the power that God gives to enable us to live different lives than we would live otherwise if we'd not been met by God in Jesus Christ. Through God's grace, hearts and minds can change. And yes, even culture can change. But God's grace works through people. Now here's what we can do. First, we can listen. We can listen to those who are not like us. Instead of retreating into our own segregated networks of family and friends, we can listen to the perspectives and experiences of people who don't necessarily look like us or share our cultural values. Most of us need to do more listening than speaking. I ran across this quotation from Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the House, the last person I would expect to speak on this subject, but he said something I think we need to hear. Newt Gingrich said, "If you are a normal white American, the truth is you don't understand being black in America, and you instinctively underestimate the level of discrimination. Newt Gingrich said that. We can listen. Second thing we can do is we can learn. Instead of jumping to conclusions that support our preconceptions and worldview, we can gather as much information as we can. And that's what I've been trying to do in the last couple of weeks, gather as much information as possible. I've been reading every newspaper story, every magazine story. I've been watching television. I've been looking on the internet. Now, you got to be careful. Not everything's reliable, especially all the talking heads on television that have their own cultural bias. But I've been gathering as much information as I can, and I've been cutting it out. I've got a stack here of 35 newspaper magazine articles. All of them are underlined where I've been reading and trying to learn as much as I possibly can so that this morning I could give you the facts as I know them rather than my own preconceptions about the facts. Ever since I saw those videos from Baton Rouge and from Minnesota and from Dallas, I've been trying to learn more about what happened in each situation. Sometimes a brief video clip doesn't tell the whole story. And I was sorry to see people jumping to conclusions based on those brief video clips. We have to be careful where we get our information. But we need to learn more. We need to understand more. The third thing that we can do, and the most important thing that we can do, is to love. We can love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We can love people who are not like us. That doesn't mean we agree with everything that people say, but love means that we renounce violence and we seek justice and we work for peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And here's the thing, peace doesn't happen automatically. Peace happens when people seek justice and when people offer forgiveness and when people treat each other with dignity and kindness and respect. And the thing is, we're people who can do that. We can be peacemakers. We can listen. We can learn. We can love. I know I'm preaching to the choir. We are not the problem. There was a beautiful demonstration this past week in our church during Vacation Bible School of people working together and loving each other. We are not the problem, but we are called to be part of the solution to the problem. May God use us to help heal our land, that we might learn to live together in justice and in peace. Our Father, our hearts are still grieving over the senseless loss of life. People who died without good reason. People who were killed just because of who they were. And we pray, O God, that together as citizens of this land, we might work together to make peace. We pray that together we might learn to listen to each other and learn from each other, and most of all, to love each other. And we pray that the peace that's ours through our faith in Jesus Christ might be lived out in the way we live together, in the way we treat each other, in the way we talk to each other, in the way we think about each other, that we might be peacemakers inspired by the love of Jesus to love each other too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and it may be a hymn that would speak to you about your relationship to Jesus Christ and to the church and to what God calls you to do. If you would profess your faith in Jesus and accept Him as your Savior, we'd invite you to make that commitment public today. Or maybe you'd want to unite with our church. The invitation is to come to the front. If we stand together and sing hymn number 520, "The Spirit Sends Us Forth to Serve."
Light, shine into somebody's life, shine God's love. Are you ready to hit it? It looks like the waves are gonna be epic. Get your board and let's go surfing. Here we go. Ride it front side.
Oh yeah.
Now ride it back side.
Oh yeah.
Hang five.
Uh-huh.
Hang ten.
Okay. Do a 360, let's do it again.
Ride it front side.
Oh yeah.
Now ride it back side.
Oh yeah.
Hang five.
Uh-huh.
Hang ten.
Okay. Do a 360 and don't fall in.
You showed me some incredible moves, but there's a whole lot of waves in that big blue ocean. So come on, let's ride again. Now paddle out.
Oh yeah.
And noodle arms.
Oh yeah.
Don't stop.
Uh-huh.
Just drop.
Okay. Let's find a wave and ride it in.
Paddle out.
Oh yeah.
And noodle arms.
Oh yeah.
Don't stop.
Uh-huh.
Just drop.
Okay. Let's find a wave and ride it in.
Come on.
Cowabunga, here comes the wave. Papa, take off. Come on now, let's catch the wave. Papa, catch air. Come on now, let's catch the wave. Papa, believe. Come on now, let's catch the wave. God can move us in amazing ways.
Ooh, shaka, 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 hang loose. Ooh, shaka, 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 hang loose. Ooh, shaka, 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 hang loose.
Cowabunga.
Come on, you guys are great.